Hello, and thanks again for tuning in to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry of the Washing Word. As you know, the Washing Word is the hand car washing business that my wife and I founded. My name is Matthew Monona, and we opened up this car wash as an opportunity to get God's Word out there and to get it out there in an unconventional way. And we do it for one reason and one reason only, because we believe that the verse-by-verse whole counsel of God's Word is in dire need of getting into the ears of the people, Christians and non alike. And so we opened up this car wash as a means to support the ministry. We are a self-supported ministry. We never ask for tithes, offerings, or charity. The only way we ask for you to support us is to come by and let us work to earn the money that it takes to keep this ministry going. And so while you're in the area of the parking lot or you're at the Washing Word and you're waiting to get your car wash, you can turn to 107.1 FM. And you can hear this week's messages being played on a loop 24/7. So anytime you're in the parking lot throughout the week, you can just hear this. You can hear these Bible teachings. You can go to washingword.com to hear them, download them for free, and find out anything you want about the ministry and about the business. That's washingword.com. Wash, the letter N, word.com. And of course, join me on WMCA's 1260 AM radio Monday through Friday at 8:30. Oh, I want to invite you out to live verse-by-verse Bible teaching on Sunday evening at 6 p.m. at Abundant Life Fellowship. That's 415 Old Union Road in Church Hill. And there we are going through the book of Matthew currently, and we do the verse-by-verse Bible teachings live Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. So why don't you come on by and come visit us. So let's get back into where we left off. That's what we do here. And we left off at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we only got one verse out of the way because it was a rather disturbing verse. It was dealing with how young men were taking their father's wives in an intimate way, if you know what I'm saying. And I tried to soften that by thinking, well, maybe it wasn't their actual mother. Maybe it was a stepwife or a stepmom, a second wife or something. But it didn't make it any different. I mean, that's still an abomination. And this is what Paul was saying, but it wasn't even the act. I mean, of course, the act was an abominable, but what was the main problem is how the people in the church were responding to it. Not only were they not rebuking it, but they were actually bragging about it. And so, you know, this church got not one, but two letters of correction, because it was a church that was steeped in a society of tremendous amount of sin. And Paul said, look, I've got to keep pushing you guys. I've got to keep writing to you. I've got to keep correcting you. And friends, isn't that exactly what God's Word does to us today? You know, we read it and we're constantly being reminded of the shortcomings in our lives. And what is it we need to do? Well, I mean, we need to grow. We need to become mature. Remember, a tree doesn't bear fruit until it becomes mature. And the whole reason you were saved was to go forth and do the works God prepared in advance for you. We read that in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And so we do these works through the maturity, through an overflow and an outflow of what God has already done in our lives. But obviously, not only were they not doing works, but they were doing opposite of godly works, and they were doing them in a horrifying way. And this is what Paul is talking about. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to read where we left off. So like I said, chapter 5, 1 Corinthians, and let's pick it up in verse 2. Well, let's go ahead and read the whole thing. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that even pagans do not tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife, and you are proud, he says. Shouldn't you rather have gone into mourning and have put out of your fellowship the man who has been doing this? For my part, even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit. As one who is present with you in this way, I have already passed judgment in the name of our Lord Jesus on the one who has been doing this. So when you are assembled, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of the Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. And so we see that this rebuke was geared towards one man in particular. But if one person is doing it, chances are more than one are doing it. So again, Paul's addressing the proudfulness of this act. You know, I can remember a time when I was younger and, you know, I would overhear other kids speaking of the past night's adventures, you know, the vandalism that they might have did, how they went out and did the, you know, chaotic things, or maybe they beat up the wimpy kid. And you overhear stories like this, you know, how guys, you know, you're in the locker room or the bathroom and you hear two guys talking about how they had their way with their girlfriends, and then they begin with the descriptive actions that took place. And, you know, that's the spirit of the world, isn't it? We boast of our iniquity. And that's normal for the world. That's normal for a pagan society. That's normal for the flesh that indwells within us. We brag about our iniquities. We see business and bragging about those whom they had to step on in order to achieve the status that they are. We hear of adulterers bragging about how they got away with sleeping or cheating on their girlfriends or their boyfriends, or their wives or their husbands. We also hear of criminals who are proud of their clever actions, how they committed their crimes and have not yet to get caught. This is the normality of the world. But in the church, as a Christian, and this is the appalling part, forgive the pun, of Paul. And upon reading the letter, I would hope that they might have felt a little convicted and said, well, Paul, I get what you're saying here, but we're not doing this. And you yourself are writing to one individual who is doing this. And I feel this is a good place to remind us of the sin of omission that we read in James 4:17. It says that anyone then who knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it sins. And so it isn't enough just to avoid sexual immorality among the Christians or in a brother or a sister. We must address it. And as Paul says, that we have to hand them over to Satan if need be, separate them from the fellowship so their cancerous ways do not spread into the flock. Listen, he's not talking about eliminating their salvation. He's not talking about the denouncing of Christ in their lives. He's talking about a backslidden, worldly Christian who is committing sin that needs to be addressed. He says that even at the greatest and most devastating of consequences. Of course, I'm talking about handing him over to Satan. He says that's better than allowing him to continue. Because what happens when you get handed over to Satan? Satan's goal is to kill, to steal, to destroy, to empty, desolation, all of these things. And when a man is given over to Satan, that person, that woman, sometimes, most of the time, will find themselves at the lowest of low of their life. Because that's what Satan does. He pulls everything good out of you and strips you desolate. And when we're in that position, oftentimes, that's when we truly find out the reality and the nature of God. In this case here that Paul is dealing with, he's saying it's not just not being a part of it, but you're excusing the members of the church that are involved in it. Well, Paul, they might say, we're not supposed to judge people, remember? To which I'm sure Paul and I would say, really? Who said we're not supposed to judge? Paul, there's countless places in the Bible that talks about Christians judging behaviors and judging teachings and judging. There's things we're not supposed to judge, like motives. We're not supposed to judge salvation. We're not supposed to take pleasure in our judging. But friends, as Christians, we are the only ones that have the truth. The only way to judge truthfully or to judge accurately is to place the offense against truth. And if truth is askew or is corrupt, then that judgment will never be true. But as Christians, we have the one and only truth in God's word. So yes, there are times and there are certain ways that we are supposed to judge. Just have to understand how and when we're not supposed to judge and when we are. You see, there's a difference between understanding a person's struggle and showing mercy and compassion versus enabling that person. So let's just get it out there at an application point. Aiding and abetting a felon is a felony. That's the law. That's the written law. If you aid and abet a felon, you are committing a felony. So in speaking with teachers today, this is the problem in many homes. A school teacher will call with a report of bad behavior, and the parents defend the child almost every time. In the old days, if a teacher called home, you can better believe that that parent was going to take care of that child and take the teacher's word for it. But not anymore. Now everybody's defending the children. And now there's an opposite response to that that is equally destructive. And that is the self-righteous judgment, prideful hypocrisy, haughty words of condemnation as we perch high upon our soapbox or high horse and look down on that unique, singled out sinner. Listen, there are a lot of good people who will never step into another church because the reactions of Christians who judge improperly. So what does proper handling of this situation look like? Well, it's not exactly shown here in the verses that we read, but through the context of the Bible, we can come up with a few things in regards to judging that are constructive and not destructive. So the first thing we must remember, if we're going to keep ourselves in check when it comes to judging and judging properly, is that let's keep this in mind. There but for the grace of God go I. Do you realize that you're just one mistake, one happenstance, one wrong place at the wrong time? You're just one incident away from becoming that person that you may be passing judgment on. You know, we might be guilty of it. When we drive down the road, we see that homeless person begging for money in their ragged clothes. And some people will reach out in compassion and try to give them food or money. Most of us just drive by. We don't even give them the mind, pay any mind. And then there's those of us, guilty, hand raised here, guilty at most times, saying that, you know what? If maybe they made some better decisions, maybe if they stopped doing drugs, maybe they stopped drinking so much, they could get a good job and they could right their lives. But they just keep on doing these things. Maybe if they just tried a little harder. And I confess, is a wrong attitude. And it's detrimental to my own growth. Because if I can remember, but by the grace of God, there go I. I mean, what separates somebody like that from me, from you? It's the grace of God. And sure, we play a part. We are the sum of our decisions in a lot of cases. But we don't know what befell them. We don't know if they lost a child to a sickness and death. We don't know if they were wronged by their spouse. And we don't know what happened to them that drew them to there. We know one thing, the enemy is clever, and the enemy has deceived that person to get them into a lifestyle that brought forth that particular lot in life. But we can't make the judgment because, friends, it isn't us. It's not for us to make that judgment because at any moment we could be that person. So not only should we keep that grace of God ever present before us, but also Paul says that we should mourn and grieve and repent. And not so much about the offender committing the offense, but those involved or those who knew. That is, if we recognize a behavior that is going to be destructive to the individual, and as that individual is a member of the body, can also be destructive to the body itself, we are called not to judge, but to mourn and grieve and bring forth repentance. Because if those behaviors are allowed to go unchecked, then there's a good chance that those same behaviors are going to infect the body. And so in order for us to properly handle behavior such as this, we have to mourn the sin. We have to grieve the behavior. And that starts by, again, looking inward, thanking God that we have the eyes to see and the ability through the Holy Spirit to adjust and make the necessary changes. And then thanking God that we have the Word of God to correct us. Well, we're just about out of time, so we're going to pick this up where we left off tomorrow. Remember, join us on the radio station, 8:30 a.m., Monday through Friday, on WMCH, 1260 a.m. radio. Come by the Wash and Word and hear these messages. Get your car washed. Help us to earn money to keep these teachings going. Invite you on Sunday nights to Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road in Churchill at 6 p.m., I do verse-by-verse Bible teaching there. And come by on Sundays at 10. We do a Sunday morning study, and then we have a great service. That's it for today. Have a blessed day.